In spring.
The honor of teeing off. If there's a social hierarchy, the most important person goes first.
This is a U.S. Open week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
U.S. Open week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Here's to the finely tuned athlete on the verge of greatness.
The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080. The Fan. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Friday. Dirt and Dirt hanging out with you on a football Friday, a fast break Friday on the Dirt and Dirt show.
What is happening?
There's Dirt. I'm Dirt.
Hey, Dirt. How you doing today?
Well, I was grabbing the auto.
There's a couple of Dirts in here today on a
that's
Friday.
My fault.
What's up, you dirt bag?
What are you talking about? You?
I got it programmed in there to just...
Went into auto mode. He's running on autopilot
right now. Find your ball Friday.
It's a new...
Find your ball Friday?
It's a new video. What do you mean auto? Oh, he's auto upload.
Well, I have the script like pre-programmed or like
gotta copy and paste
it. Copy and pull it.
Don't you just write here's Dirt or Sprague for the pregame notion pregame thing?
It's already written, so I can just grab it and.
You know what? Do me a favor. I give you grief about this. I actually legitimately want you to don't change it.
Yeah, every time should just be Dirt.
It should just be Dirt every single time.
Every single time.
He wants it all about him. You might as well just keep the script as there is.
Goes. Give it to me, that's baby. Fine. Give it to me. I'm doing the pregame every day now. Some days I'm taller and skinnier. Some days I'm short and fat. I don't know what I'm going to look like that day, but it's all right. Some days I've shaved. Some days I haven't shaved.
Welcome to the show, folks.
I need a haircut. Some days I don't need a haircut. You know.
Some days you have tattoos.
Some days I got tats. Some days I don't. You never know what you're going to get from me. That's
good.
Beauty.
Actual sports previewing. Some days you have fundamental questions that you have to ask the world that you never get answers to.
A hot
curious
take,
about
fire from the hip.
Where that diatribe was born out of.
Yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, the diatribe was born out of yesterday.
What happened on the Great Notion Brewing pregame show that I clearly did. I just want to make sure that you watched it because I was the one that did it. So I'm curious from the watching of it, what you took away from it and what the rant was about.
Well, here's my two cents on this Great Notion previewing thing we're doing here as a station.
Yeah, nobody seemed to work out the details of us in the morning show. Which is par for the course. Everybody's got great ideas. It's like, well, okay, where's all the support at 5 a.m. when we're trying to do this?
Well, we had Jake.
We are here every day. We are here early every day.
Every day.
Jake is supposed to come in Monday and Thursday with us from 6 to 9. He shows up roughly at around 8:12.
It's like, hey. Is he here today? He's here today. I think he's here today.
No, he was here yesterday.
I find, this is just my opinion. Doesn't mean it's right.
Mm.
Yes.
I find traditional previewing content rather uninteresting.
Mm.
And all the shows got to do these videos.
Yes.
So I like to spice it up for Great Notion. I like to throw out pondering things that go on in my life or that I observe.
Give them something special.
Honestly, your animal facts would be pretty good in that, too.
Well, we all know what's coming up on the show. Sports.
Yeah.
And what's... Oh, well, the NBA Finals?
What? We're going to talk about that today?
Will you talk about Beaver Baseball?
I didn't have either of those in my notes.
What about football? Of course.
I was going to do 2.5 hours on the U.S. Open. I don't know what you're talking
about. It's a football Friday. Dirt and I are going to a Timbers game today.
I'm popping my Timbers chair.
I'm excited for you, too.
Are you going to be at the game, Swag? Are you going?
No, Hops are continuing their homestand. It's Fireworks Friday.
Fireworks Friday.
You guys going to get shut out on Fireworks Friday the way you did yesterday?
I hope not. That was rough. They have fallen out of first place in the league.
Okay, back to the pregame. So yesterday we did a end of season for basketball team dinner thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Go to Pietro's Pizza and everybody plays arcades. We're having a great time.
It was at a player's parents' house.
Okay.
And so we had a mini team photo thing because we had never really done one. It's the first girls team for this Nelson youth program. It's a really special thing. Our record wasn't great, but it's the first team ever.
It's a building block for the future.
Right. So we did photos, and then we did about 45 minutes of actual basketball stuff, okay? Then we head over. We're going to have, a big team dinner. So we go to the house. Everybody's having a good time. The food is delightful. The company's great. The weather's perfect. And they go, Coach! And I go, yeah? And everybody at this party, there's all the players, and most of their parents are there, okay? And the backyard is very nice, but it's not large. So it's kind of intimate, and I turn, and there's stuff.
Oh, God. They got you some gifts?
So they get me, yeah. So there's envelopes, and I got open envelopes, and there's like thank you cards, and then there's like gift cards that make me feel very uncomfortable, the amount that is on it.
Yeah, a lot of money.
Then there's another gift card for one of these driving ranges, and that amount makes me feel, there's just like a lot, you know, and it was very nice. It was very kind.
A bucket of balls costs a lot in this economy right now.
Well, this is going to get me a lot of buckets.
It's a lot of buckets coming your way.
Yeah. And so it's like a very nice thing. All the players wrote like personal messages thanking me for the season and how they felt. And
very touching.
Yeah.
Did they sign a basketball? Did you get like a signed team basketball?
No, and I'm kind of glad I didn't because I wouldn't know what to do with that.
You put that up in Arnie's gym, man. I mean, put that on a shelf. That year.
Maybe I would have done that.
You know, frame the team photo.
Well, one of those girls could go to the WNBA. That could be a ball that's worth a lot of money down the road.
There's some girls on our team that I think if they really applied themselves could play college ball.
Sure, could be very good.
Yeah, I don't know how high the level, but I think they could. So I open these things, I get these gifts, and I've realized this about myself in the last like year or two of my life. Most people are very bad gift givers, and I'm raising my hand. I am one of these people.
Yeah.
I'm actually also a very bad gift receiver.
You don't show the emotions that you feel are adequate?
I'm not an overly fake person in the sense of like you get something and you're like, oh, guys.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm also not like, oh, thanks, guy. I didn't know. It was a lot.
You don't want to go too far because then you feel like you're almost putting on an act. You don't want to be too over the top of, thank you so much.
Yes. Yeah. And you'd also know it was an act if I did it.
Yeah. You want it to be a genuine reaction.
Right.
Sounds like you were a little overwhelmed, though.
Well, I didn't do the coaching thing to get gift cards.
No, of course not.
No, you didn't, but it's nice to get a little something out of it at the end of the year for them to show their appreciation.
But I think
just telling me thank you actually is good enough.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, I don't know how many other sports your kids play, but if they
play... It's like soccer and cross country. There's not like team sport-wise a lot going on for us.
So if they were playing, let's say they were playing club soccer, that was like a year-round thing, constant tournaments, multiple practices. God. It goes on month on end,
gun in my mouth.
It never ends, right?
Soccer is awful. I'm just going to say that hot take.
Season finally comes to an end. Are you buying the coach something as a thank you gift?
It ain't my idea.
Would your wife buy the coach something as
a thank
you gift?
Would my wife contribute?
Yeah.
Would she go, hey,
here's 30, but 20 bucks
for
a gift card.
We're giving $30 into the big pot. And I'd go, oh, okay.
Yeah,
but like,
sounds good.
If you said...
You wouldn't do it on your own volition, but somebody in your household would come up with the idea to pinch in a little bit.
Here's my take. Coaching is a very... I think it's important, and it's not just from like the wins and losses perspective. There's a lot of disgusting coaches in sports, and they want to win, and they want to be like, I'm undefeated in the last 3 years. I've encountered these coaches.
Yeah.
They're real. You should be coaching to want to keep kids active and enjoy the team aspect of sports.
Yes.
Or solo, golf, whatever.
Yeah. Sure.
If you want to coach to get gift cards or money, go a different direction. You should not be getting into what I'm doing to get paid.
That's my salary,
or
man.
To get a gift card to a sushi restaurant. Now, again,
your golf game is going to be dialed in this offseason.
I want to tell you, very appreciative.
All those buckets that are coming your way.
I'm very grateful for it. I don't want this to sound like I'm very mad. I'm not mad at. I just realized about myself.
Yeah.
And I've done this at Christmas. I've done this for birthday.
I'm the same way.
I'm not a very good gift receiver. I'm like, oh, thanks. And then I kind of just move on.
Move
I don't really give you a lot emotionally with gift receiving. And gift giving is a controversial thing that people talk about. Nobody talks about gift receiving.
No.
Are you a good gift receiver? I am awful.
I feel like I'm really bad at that, too. I usually end up dropping, like, in those instances, I would have just said repetitively, over and over again, this is too much. And then to the point where it's like, no, it's not. We got you. And then it becomes a thing where I'm like, why?
Now you sound ungrateful.
This is too much.
Yeah.
Like, why did you do all this? You didn't need to do this. This is way too much.
Yep.
I do that a lot. My wife will ask me from time to time around holidays, do you don't like it? And I'm like, yes, I do. I told you I like it.
Yeah.
You don't like it, do you? You don't like it. And then I got to wear the shirt on a show and everybody makes fun of me. So I actually did like the shirt. Thank you very much.
To be fair, listeners liked it.
They enjoyed it. I feel like I have the same problem, too. And part of it is... I enjoy giving gifts more than I enjoy getting gifts. Does that make sense? Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because we're all at the point now where if I need something, I just go buy it. So there's not very many things that I actually truly need in my life.
If it's a good idea, then yeah, I'm with you.
So it's like, I got the stuff in my life that I need in my life. You didn't need to get me anything.
No, some of that's just something that are kind of unique and personal, regardless of the cost of it. But when somebody really, you know, something out of the way, something they had to like, put some effort and time into
some thought into.
Yeah, I think the thoughtful gift is more like I'm more excited to see somebody open a thoughtful gift versus like I just got you a pair of shoes.
Yeah, that was expensive or you spent a lot of money on.
Yeah.
Something that a little thought and love went into.
Yeah, when you come up with a really like me and my family this year, we all did. Everybody did a jokey T-shirt or sweatshirt, white elephant.
Yeah,
and so like. I didn't really know where it was going to go, but when we started opening them up, there were like very funny, awful photos of each other on T-shirts.
On a T-shirt, yeah.
Or like my brother-in-law got a hand-me-down free T-shirt from Century High School because of the youth football league they play there. And so there was a Century sweatshirt in.
Yeah.
Like,
what is this?
Why is this in here? Those are fun to me.
Those are fun.
Those I enjoy. And nice gifts are nice gifts. But yeah, if it's creative and a little out of the box, I'm more excited to see the reaction to that than like,
sure,
I got you a really nice pair of pants.
Yeah, and it's just, there's always the weird balance of you want to sound thankful, but then you don't want to sound too fakey over the top.
Right.
But then I feel like my natural reaction to the gift is not enough, and the person's like looking for more, and then I end up going further over the top, and then I feel like I sound like I'm faking it. It's a weird conundrum to be in.
The card I got with the personal little notes in them, that meant... That I enjoy.
That's more significant than anything
else. And I was like, oh, this is really nice of you guys.
It's a personal touch from all the players telling you, thank you for your time and effort.
And I'm grateful, I'm happy the parents, you know, that was cool they did that.
Yeah.
The gift card thing.
When are we going to get sushi? Let's go, baby.
The amount on that gift card, all of our families
can
get
some rolls, dude. A little summer vacation.
A lot of rolls with that gift card.
Let's get some rolls, baby.
But I sat there and, you know, I was able to kind of get out of it after 2 minutes. But that 2 minutes felt like 35 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, everybody's kind of looking at me.
I also hate being and this is weird in the industry we're in, I hate being the center of attention. I can't stand it. In settings like that, when everybody at the party is looking at you, watching you, you're the only one open. It's one thing like on a Christmas when everybody's rotating gift opening, and then you're like, just for a brief moment, and then you move on to the next gift. But for like a birthday or a situation like that, and everybody's watching you for your reaction, I hate that feeling.
One of the moms was like, hey, I listened to your show the other day, and I was like, oh, were we talking about cocaine?
No, that wasn't the Cardi B show, was it?
The Cardi B segment,
No.
Very dangerous. What time did you listen? You know, you get a little weird on that show. I'm sorry.
Thank you for listening, though. I appreciate it.
A normal human being outside of coaching your kid in basketball.
Don't let your kids listen to the show, but they should. But
targeted demographic in this industry, and it's not you.
Are you a male 35 to 54?
I gotta play the ratings game.
Yeah, I'm in an industry, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm an awful gift receiver.
I feel the same way. I feel like this is a problem that a lot of people can relate to.
I've always known I'm a little bit of a weird person. I'm just realizing as I get older how weird I am in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, you're pretty weird, dude. We're all weird, though. We're all odd ducks.
But I'm, like, enjoying how weird I am.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
You're breathing in your own stench. You're like, smelling your own farts over there.
The amount of people in the last 2 years that are realizing that I never say goodbye to them, that I'm just gone, they look around, like, where's Brandon?
Irish goodbyes.
Oh, big. Yeah,
God,
big
I love a good Irish goodbye.
I'm not a believer in saying goodbye.
Get up and walk out. I'll see you again tomorrow.
Last night, they were dragging this thing on my kid and my wife, and it was, like, 9:20, and I'm like, yo, the sun's gone. It's dad's got to wake up soon. I got to get home. I got to organize my show sheet. And I just walked away.
I got a 4 a.m. alarm tomorrow. You guys don't have a 4 a.m. alarm tomorrow, so I'm going to go ahead and fade into the background.
Hey, these school stories, we can text these. They don't need to be shared.
This does not need to be an in-person conversation.
I need to get out of here.
Happy summer all the kiddos, though. Everybody's on vacation now.
Yeah, my kids got school today.
What? They got another day?
Middle school and high school have today.
Oh.
Elementary school is out. Yesterday.
Okay. So the older kids are done today.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the last districts still going.
I have a very if a teacher's listening today, could you please help us on this on the fake test line? If we get one, great. Why is middle school happening? Their tests are done. Their yearbook signing was yesterday.
Everything's over.
It's a full day.
Yeah, what are you even doing in a full day today?
They
nothing.
Did field day yesterday.
There's
I'm
nothing
legitimately
left.
Asking, why is there school today and what are you doing?
Just going to get a
movie
paycheck.
Day?
Like, everybody just hangs out.
I think my kid's leaving early, too. I think one of the parents is trying to pull her out at like 1.
Get them out of there. What the hell are they in there for?
Well, I kind of want her to stay, though, too, because I'm like, I didn't get taken out of school at the end.
What are you
going
to miss, though? You know, there's nothing going
no,
on
No, she
today.
Won't miss anything, yeah. But like, I don't know. Memories? I don't know. I don't know why I think this.
Is anything fun happening afterwards? Are the kids doing anything? Are they going no. anywhere?
They
like,
get,
going to get ice
they
cream?
Get,
or
they get some sort of yearbook and...
They already did that.
They already did the yearbook.
They did yesterday.
Everybody gave their hags.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I dropped that line to my niece the other day.
I know the teachers are contracted to be in the classroom a specific number of days.
You don't need the kids there.
Yeah. God,
smoke a doobie in the room and play basketball or something. Like, take advantage of the school
meeting. Get weird. Get in trouble, you know.
Drop acid with each other.
I dropped the hags to my niece the other day, and she didn't understand that reference.
Really?
Yeah, she didn't get that.
Your niece is how old?
She's 6th grade, going into 7th grade. I was like, are you going to write hags on everybody's yearbook? She was like, what? Hags.
Yeah, my 7th grader knew what
she
hags
gets,
was.
She gets hags? Yeah,
mine but maybe I told her what hags was.
Yeah, she was like, she looked at me like I was an alien. And I said, well, that's what we used to write, hags. Have a great summer.
The amount of people I did not like and were not friends with me that used to be like, can you write me yearbook?
Can you send my yearbook?
Why? We didn't talk all year.
You got to get that yearbook full.
What do you want from
me? You need
me?
Every page signed. It makes you feel more popular.
Well, the gift that keeps on giving is this program.
Yes, it is.
Until they say... Yeah, stop doing that show.
We're still here.
We're still here.
We're still standing.
We got a lot to get to today. I want to start with a rando. And actually, well, I don't know where I'm going to start. I have a lot of ideas. I got home late, as you can tell. I got a lot of ideas, and so we'll decide where we start, but let's get it going next on The Fan. We have a lot to get to today. This is going to be very random, but I saw this, and I had to bring this up on the show. So I was perusing football content yesterday. And I saw a video, well, I saw a link to a video that was sent out on social media. So I clicked it. And on it was a video of Russell Wilson saying, let's go Hawks. And I went, what's this about? And I went and looked it up. So the Seattle Seahawks are celebrating their 50th year as an organization.
Wow, this is the 50th season.
The 50th season.
Hmm.
And in doing so, they've created... Top 50 players in franchise history.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you go through this, you get a lot of the names you'd expect. Hutchinson, right?
Steve Largent. Cortez Kennedy.
Walter Jones.
Not obvious
Kenny
answers.
Kenny Easley.
Matt Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck.
We could probably do this for a while.
Yeah.
There'd be
Kurt
a couple
Warner.
Names.
We
Kurt
want the
Warner,
ball,
Chevrolet.
We're going to win.
Yes. Yeah. Richard Sherman.
I felt bad for that Kurt Warner.
Why?
To get overshadowed. He's the forgotten Kurt Warner.
Bobby Engram. I mean, we could just play that game,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
There's a name on this list, and if a Seahawks fan is listening and I'm off base, please put me in my place. I'm asking out of curiosity, why is Devon Witherspoon a top 50 Seahawk already?
Already a top 50 Seahawk.
He made the list. They kicked off the video. I went and watched the video. So the video is It's a put-together thing of them calling all the players. Like, Marshawn calls Richard Sherman. He calls Cam Chancellor. They're all calling each other, right? The old guys, the new guys, the not-too-long-ago guys. But it kicks off with, Devon, you made it. And I just went, how is Devon Witherspoon done enough in his career? And I know 50's a lot, but...
He's a really good player. But, yeah, he's only been in the NFL for 2 seasons.
Yeah. I mean, 50, I mean...
You're telling me there's not somebody else that just had a little bit longer track record? I mean, I'm assuming the entire Legion of Boom has to be in there.
Because
they won a Super Bowl.
There's all of... Lofa Tatupu.
Yeah.
I mean, there are names on here that are going to throw you back, and then also you go, yeah, that's Daryl Jackson.
Tavares Jackson.
Matt Flynn.
Are we going back to, like, Jim Zorn?
Yeah,
Zorn
no, there's, they're using the whole history of the franchise here. And
yeah, that's a little too early.
I mean,
2 years
gonna,
into his career.
He's going to be a good player.
Yeah, that's one in like 2 to 3 years. You have no problem if this continues and he's going to Pro Bowls and getting all pro votes and all that kind of stuff. But 2 years into your career to say you're one of the 50 greatest players in the history of the franchise, I don't know if I could do that.
Well, but here's my
theory.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I don't think he's on that.
One of the most iconic moments in Seahawks history.
Here's my thinking.
Trucked in the end zone.
I think that they put him on there for contract negotiations purposes.
See, we made you a top 50 Hawk.
You're already a top 50 Hawk, baby. Go to the top 20.
You want to be one of the all-time greats? You want to climb into that top 10?
I totally believe there's an ulterior motive.
I have no other reason to believe than that, because, like, why would you put him on there? He's done... I think he's made two Pro Bowls.
DK Metcalf on there?
Yeah.
Okay, DK Metcalf. Lockett's got to be on there.
Lockett's on there. Yeah. Baldwin's on there.
Baldwin's got to be on there, yeah.
Like, two Pro Bowls. Yeah, Pro Bowl's a joke now, man.
Yeah, Pro Bowl doesn't mean what it used to mean.
Not at all. All pro NFL is different.
Yeah, that's still a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
When you're all pro. He was fourth in defensive rookie of the year voting his rookie season. Nobody
cares about fourth.
No, he got votes.
He was fine. He was good, obviously.
Nobody's saying he's a bad player.
No, I think he can be a good player.
But top 50 of all time is a little weird. I'm trying to think of an analogy for, like, a Blazer fan of who would be the guy who was clearly a very good player 2 years into his career. That then somehow was named one of the top 50 players in the history of the franchise.
I got it. If Tumani Kamara makes all defense NBA next year again, and we put him on,
I feel like, yeah.
That'd be similar to me.
Would he be a top 50 player in Blazer history?
Well, how many players in Blazers history have made back-to-back All-NBA defensive teams?
Well, let's go
right
now, because he's 2 years into his career, right? Because he played last year was his rookie year, and then this year was year two. So there's a comp there. Year two, he was better than year one. He was an all-defensive player this year.
And football has how many more players than
football
a basketball
has a lot
team?
More players than basketball, yeah. But I don't, like, as of right now, you wouldn't say Kamara's a top 50 player in Blazer history, would you?
I wouldn't. Hit that no.
No.
This was his second year, by the way. You said rookie year?
Last year was, this is year two. That's what I'm saying. They're comparable. They've both been in the league for 2 years.
Right, and he made all NBA.
This year
defense.
He was all NBA this year.
Yeah.
And he's been, Witherspoon's been a Pro Bowler twice. I think he was all pro as a rookie. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I could put 50 Blazers.
You could
up
come
there.
Up with 50 names
now,
before
hold on.
You got to Kamara.
Is like a Twardznik on that list over a Tumani Kamara?
He won a championship! Numbers retired!
Is Larry Steele on that list over Tumani Kamara?
I went to Larry Steele's basketball camp. I didn't go to Kamara's basketball camp when I was
point.
A kid.
That's a great point.
Where is Kamara's basketball camp?
Might be in Belgium.
When
I don't know.
But he's got a basketball camp. We'll put him top 50.
Brussels might have something happening this summer.
I mean, you can think of a handful of names just in the last 10 years of guys that he's not ahead of. You go back to the conference finals teams in 99-2000, there's a chunk of guys on those teams that you would put ahead of this.
I kind of like this.
I mean, you would.
Let's say he makes all NBA defense again next year.
That's year three. So is Witherspoon going to have a great year three? Is he an all pro guy two times in 3 years?
Well, but let's
change the equation a little bit.
Let's do this logically. Let's say Witherspoon has another good year, but makes Pro Bowl and gets close to all pro consideration. I'm trying to comp it as close as we can. I think Tumani is the best example. But we have to assume he makes all defensive team again next year.
If he did it again next year, I wouldn't have a problem putting him as a top 50 Blazer of all time.
Really?
I mean, we don't have that good of a history.
He's 12 points per game.
We haven't played in an NBA finals game in 30 years.
But we've had finals teams.
How many of them? How many teams have we put in the finals?
How many just in the 90s would you put on
that? Finals teams of what have we, three times we've been in the finals as
Hold
a franchise?
Hold on, but like the starting five
I
of the finals
the
90s
would go in
teams?
There. Cliffy would go in
there. Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
and then
you're forgetting how many names 50 is. 50 is a lot of names.
I did this with the Seahawks list. I went, is a lot.
I'll give you the 99-2000s teams. You want to go that whole damn roster if you want to put them on, that's fine. You want to put 10 guys from that era on, that's cool.
Most of it.
Dame, LaMarcus, CJ.
Well,
you go.
Steve Kerr's not going to be on the top 50.
Then you got the championship team. So Walton, Maurice Lucas.
Yeah. And now you're up to like 25. You're halfway there. It's Carmelo Anthony on the top 50 Blazer list of all
time. Top 50 moments in franchise history.
Darius Miles.
Rashid, Damon.
Sit here, act like we got some rich history.
Zeebo would be on that list.
Done anything relevant in a quarter century.
Would Steve Smith go on the list before?
No, he was here for what, two seasons?
God, I love Steve Smith, though.
I love him.
Can Walt Williams be on that list just for the nostalgia and the Sox?
Does anybody else?
Can his Sox be a top 50 guy?
Anybody else see Steve Smith and just hear Stuart Scott? Mookie.
Yeah.
And think Mookie Blaylock as well.
Every time.
That was a big three, Mookie Blaylock, Steve Smith, and Mutombo.
God, I love those Hawk jerseys.
Jim Paxson is on that list.
Yeah.
See, it's my point.
Ainge?
Danny Ainge.
Is Danny Ainge a top 50 Blazer of all time?
Why not? Throw it to him. Now you're at like 27.
Tumani Kamara ahead of Steve Blake.
I think you're making a good point.
You got 23 names to go.
A bigger number than you'd give it credit.
That's a big number.
That's a lot of players.
Yeah, and to Swag's point, it's harder to do. Like basketball, to come up with 50 names is more difficult because there's not as many guys. Like,
Jeff Petrie's on that list.
Yeah, at least there's 22 on a football team.
And football, it's like you got all the offensive linemen, defensive linemen, any quarterback with a pulse in Seattle history. you're going to throw
There's
on
a
there.
Few names on here that I admittedly was like, I don't have a history of them.
Never heard that name before.
Jeff Bryant?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't claim to act like I know much about Jeff Bryant and Seahawk history.
I got nothing with Jeff
Jacob
Bryant.
Jacob Green?
Nothing with Jacob Green.
Oh, Jacob Green was a beast.
Hey, I'll believe you. You could say anything to me and I'll believe you at this point. I'm just telling you, I don't have... went through it. Who else was on this? There was two kickers. John Ryan made the list.
John Ryan, top 50?
So did Michael Dixon.
Dixon. Well, didn't they just extend him with a big contract?
He's been a really good kicker.
Yeah, he's a great punter.
Yeah. So was John Ryan. Pickles owner.
Yes.
The big pickle.
He faked a field goal.
Ginger pickle.
In the NFC title game.
Absolutely. Friend of the program, John Ryan. Yes.
John Ryan has been on the show before.
But yeah, this is kind of Brian Millard.
All of a sudden, this is a little less controversial 2 years into his career as you continue to name
names. Are we concluding Devon Witherspoon?
Top 50 of all time.
Indeed, top 50
I retract my take from the opening of the segment. He is very deserving of being top 50 of all time.
Yeah, it is an interesting list, and it's a good play by the Seahawks to get ahead of those contract negotiations.
Look at that, top 50, baby.
Dude, come
top
on, 50. You're a franchise history player. We got to keep you here. What's it going to take?
And if you have a slightly disappointing year this year, you can say, well, we do have top 50 Seahawk of all time, Witherspoon in the secondary.
So are we concluding collectively as a group as we go? Tamani Kamara makes all defensive team again next year, first, second, whatever.
I mean, the more I think about it, he might already be on the list, to be honest with you. He might be like 49.
I don't think so yet.
Next but if he does it next year?
I want to play the... I want you... Like, you're not going to do it, but throughout the course of the show today, we can add this to our rankings. See how many names you could come up with.
Give us five a break.
Okay.
Five a break.
I'm going to have to go back through the annals of Blazer history.
You do your annals.
You go through the
annals. And you give me five a break.
And you let us know.
We'll go through your annals.
And I want to know how many names you come up with.
We'll try to get to 50, okay?
I don't know if there's 50. The more I think about it, I genuinely don't know.
Like, I would have Drazen Petrovic on the list before.
Oh, R.I.P.
Tumani.
Yeah.
How many years did he play in a Blazer uniform?
Not that long.
Not that long,
A lot of people more know him as a net.
Yes.
Sadly.
And he was also a guy that he was a woulda, coulda, shoulda been in his career. Everybody remembers that.
Detlef Schrempf.
He played here for a season and a half.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
95 career games as a Blazer. He averaged 7 points per game.
He's the original Jermaine O'Neal.
Yes, because then he went to the Nets and he was really good. He averaged 20 a game back-to-back years.
Yeah.
He turned into a really good player.
Yeah, Dirt's right. Start putting your list together and sprinkle them at us every once in a while of like name them off randomly during a segment so we can see if you can get to 50 without Tamani Kamara.
Yeah.
All right. So all right. Well, I'll start.
It doesn't have to be in any order. You don't have to go 1 through 47.
What a ridiculous task we've given you
just
today.
Just name names. Name names throughout the show.
Oh.
And we'll give you a thumbs down or a thumbs up like Gladiator.
All right. Let's try to get back on things. Okay. Let's be more organized on our Friday. Let's go off on a high note today. We're already over it. Coming up next, I don't know how you guys do it. I don't know how you do it. Next on The Fan.
Now Kulak. Held in by Verhaeghe. Now across. The truck with it. Score! 20 seconds remaining. Clock calls it. Cross side pass. Right side of the net. Score! Leon Draisaitl. In overtime, the Edmonton Oilers tie the series. 2 games apiece.
Kenny Albert, TNT. I don't know how you guys do it. And I want to say, I say that because I want to acknowledge a couple things. Hockey's playoff is fun. It's always exciting. Even when the Panthers went up 2-0 and they eventually went up 3-0, you know, as Blue Line Brandon picking the Oiler, I'm still not in my house on my couch going, man, we're in trouble. I'm like, this ain't over.
I hope you bet it because the odds would have been incredible. Nobody in Stanley Cup final history has ever done that. It's the first time it's ever happened.
The hottest of heaters, and I'm not taking advantage of this moment for myself.
If you felt that way, that would have been a hell of an opportunity.
I did feel that way, and I didn't do anything about
it. Yeah, teams in the history of, let me find that number. I think it was 0-37 was the number when a team has had a 3-0 lead at the end of the first period. Yeah, the teams were 37-0 in Stanley Cup final history.
Now, look, hockey's great. Sports is fun. Like, I'm just glad that we're getting interesting championships in these two sports.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less about other narratives of the sports and eyeballs and all that stuff. I'm just enjoying it. This is where I tell you, I don't know how you guys do this. And I'm going to ask, in case he's listening, Gustafson, I'm sorry. I just, the way that game ended is kind of my point with hockey. it's just luck. He just threw a puck at the stick as he reaches, and it ricochets off a skate, and nobody sees it, and it goes in, and the game's over. And I these guys are incredibly skilled. I could never skate like that if I wanted to. What they do with the stick, watching these dudes go in and out and pass the puck and execute. But, like, also that ends the game, and I'm like, yeah. If that happened in sports, it's like throwing up a hook shot from half court, and it sinks, and that's the game-winning shot in a basketball game. And I'm just like, what? No. Give me my Michael Jordan move. And last night, I don't know how you guys do it. That would drive me nuts if my team lost that way.
Yeah, it's a horrible way to lose a game. There's no doubt about that. That was legitimately one of the best hockey games I've ever watched. And I know that might be, you know, a little reactionary for people. They were down. The series was over. It was done. They're down 2-1 in the series. They're down 3-0 at the end of the first period. They pulled their starting goaltender.
The series was done? I mean, if they lose to a game seven last
year,
they
did. 3-0. Sure they did. Good luck winning three games in a row again against that Florida Panthers team. Good luck. Good luck. Mm-hmm. You're down 3-1. The series is all but over. You've pulled your starting goaltender who has given up, a total of 8 goals in his last 2.5 periods. He got pulled in game 3 when you got your teeth kicked in, and then he got pulled again after 20 minutes last night, or whenever they ended up taking him out. Like, that, it was done. And you don't come back from down 3-0 in a game in Stanley Cup final history. It never happens, as I just stated, 37-0 when teams have that lead. And then to come all the way back, they took the lead late in the third period. They gave up a goal with 19.5 seconds to go. That was the second latest game-tying goal in Stanley Cup final history at the end of a game. The only one that beats it is the goal that Edmonton scored in game 2. So we're truly being delivered one of the best Stanley Cup finals we've ever seen. But for them to fight back with their backup goaltender to find a way to win the game on the road and then tie the series up now instead of being down 3-1, that truly was one of the best hockey games that I've ever watched. There's unquestionably a lot of luck involved with bounces and breaks.
Yep.
But a lot of it is winning battles. A lot of it is winning faceoffs. It's winning, you know, winning a race to a puck.
Putting yourself in a spot to get some of that luck.
You got to grind out a game, and it's making sure you got fresh legs on the ice, and it's in overtime you got long changes because you're going away from your bench, and so changing players is incredibly complicated, and not taking a bad penalty in a bad spot. Like, it's an absolute meat grinder of a sport that eventually, if you give yourself enough chances and enough good looks, you hope that one bounces in off of a skate. Florida had a shot where Bennett should have scored a game winner. He had one where it slightly deflected off of Pickard's glove, kind of ticked up and then hit the crossbar. That should have been game over, but it wasn't, and Edmonton ended up winning the game.
I think I just concluded, and I can already hear your voice in my head responding to this comment. I think that game winner is why I can't get into it all the way. It's just that would piss me off on a daily basis.
What if it's your team that won the game? That's not how every hockey game ends. Not every game goes to overtime with a fluky game winning goal.
I know, but I remember thinking this as a kid. I watched the Red Wings lose a game to the Avalanche, and I was actually really into hockey as a child. There was like a 3-year run there where I was like super into hockey. I watched it every time it was on ESPN. I was a bandwagon Red Wing fan, and when they would lose to the Blues, the Avalanche, or the Stars, oh, God, I was actually legitimately upset. And they lost a game randomly to the Avalanche in a fluky-ish manner. And I remember I hate this sport. And I turned off the TV and I just went and played basketball.
You can't do it. It's too lucky.
Blue
Line Brandon coming in and poo-pooing that game right now.
No.
You giving me a poo-poo?
I'm poo-pooing the ending.
I'm getting a little bit of a poo-poo. Are you sensing a poo-poo right now, Swag?
Come on.
I'm sensing a poo-poo.
There's no poo-poo.
That was one of the best Stanley Cup final games in the history of the sport. You're coming in. You're poo-pooing it. Is,
if that pass gets through, Corey Perry would have buried it.
Yes, he would have.
They were going to score.
The
Draisaitl goal.
You thought that was a pass?
That was a pass to Corey Perry.
He was being
taken
down in his stick.
No, that was
a
pass to Corey Perry, and it deflected off the defender's
stick. I think you guys lie to yourselves.
No.
To settle the
I think you're trying to poo-poo one of the greatest hockey games that I've ever watched.
Because
it had a lucky ending.
Yeah.
We're down 3-0. People turned the game off.
I didn't.
Came back and won the game.
Blue Line Brandon picked the right team. He's on a heater. What am I going to yell that for?
You're poo-pooing. Too much poo-poo. Your NBA final sucks.
Whoa.
Sports stupid. Stupid.
Wow.
Small markets, no stars. I'm not watching.
All right, well.
Now I'm lashing out emotionally.
It's okay. It's all right. That was a great game. It was a great game. I'm giving you guys that.
I mean, it's just like
that had to have been fun for a hockey sicko.
Yeah, can you imagine being the guy with the Oilers and Thunder parlay watching that game?
Oh, by the way, very quickly, I want to...
the sweat that guy was having.
I want to get back on the clock, and I already screwed that up. I want to thank you. Give me a second here. This is bad radio for I'd like to thank Dirt. What do you want to thank Dirt for, Sprague? Good question. I quite literally had this game on my phone at my team function around the parents.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And I got a text.
what did you get texted? I didn't text anything last night.
You text me about a photo of
We all know your history on Instagram with reels and stories popping up. I don't know why I'm getting blamed for this. We know that story.
You text
we
me
know what's popping up on your phone.
A photo
Maybe
of
it's your algorithm. I don't
Oilers
know.
Up tops gal.
You need to clean up your algorithm.
As I was next to parents, I saw a text from the group chat and I was like, oh, and my YouTube will shrink so I can still see text and watch. And I clicked it to see what you said, and it's just a photo of big, beautiful breasts.
They're great. I mean, you
and
know,
I just was like around other parents, and I'm like, whoa!
You should have said, Oilers must be tarps off right now.
Nobody knows what that means.
Should have been tarps off. You should have gone tarps off with her, taking your shirt off when the picture came in.
Appreciate that.
Blue Line Brandon won another game last night.
Hashtag bad timing.
Coming in here poo-pooing my sport. Get out of here.
Bad timing.
Lucky. Get out of here with that nonsense.
We will do some Beaver baseball chatted today. We'll get the Louisville preview. Are the Cardinals good?
What do we know about the Cardinals?
I know nothing about them.
They make baseball bats there.
About the Sluggers.
The Kentucky Derby, what's that like? No?
Should ask that question.
So what's it like?
So, hey, Kentucky Derby, huh?
Bourbon, whiskey, baseball bats, and derby talk.
A lot of mint juleps, huh?
Is your baseball team good?
Maybe you moved to Louisville.
We'll find out.
Right up my alley.
Louisville.
Muhammad Ali.
Hey, you got to be careful. I met some people from Louisville once.
I know,
once.
It's Louisville. I know.
It's Louisville.
I know.
You got to be very...
What if we went very Portland? Hey, is Louisville good?
Louisville. How's Louisville's baseball team? Does Lamar Jackson play for them?
Some great news happened yesterday. We need to acknowledge it. Next on The Fan. All right, we have a lot to get to in all seriousness in the second hour of this program. You guys need to respect this format.
Get back on the clock, all right?
I will get back on the clock. We had massive news yesterday. We'll get to some real serious sports stuff here, okay? But we had some massive news. There was an announcement yesterday.
What got announced? Did I miss something? Top 50 Blazers of all time? Is there a new Star Wars coming out?
Rick Moranis is coming out of his retirement.
Is this official? He's coming out
it's
of retirement?
Official. Rick Moranis is back. 2 is going to have everybody but John Candy for obvious reasons.
For, yeah, that one you can't do.
Barf will not be in Spaceballs 2.
No, he will not.
But Bill Pullman, Rick Moranis, Mel Brooks is going to act in this at 98.
Is there a... I wonder if they'll have, who would be, like, if Barf had a kid
or
an offspring?
Who's a good
you know
Barf
who
kid?
To, you know who wants to do it? I bet you could get him to do it, and I bet you get him at a cheaper rate than he normally charges. Ryan Reynolds is making a John Candy, like, docuseries about how great he was. It's his Hero from Canada.
I'm definitely going to watch that. Who doesn't love John Candy?
I bet you Ryan Reynolds would love to play Barf's offspring.
Is that a good Barf? Is that a good Barf for you?
I think it could be a good Barf.
It could be a good
Reynolds
Barf.
Is good. Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying he's not good. He's a little toxic right now, is he not? I don't follow the tabloids as closely as some, but now, for the headlines I see, he's a little controversy right now.
Before people crap all over it and say this could be terrible, like, let's not do that, okay? Let's hope for the best here.
I mean, I'm going to watch it. I have a lot of high expectations. It's going to be a great movie, but I will watch the movie.
I just want to see Moranis again.
I saw this yesterday.
His wife passed away. He basically quit. He became a dad.
Yeah, he has not had an on-screen credit, I believe, in 28 years.
Yeah, this is huge, man.
And how long
him out of retirement?
Been. Yeah, it's a massive deal. The Barf thing, I feel like you got to find a fat for that, don't you?
You can't make him a little heavier? He wore the fat suit in
fat
Just
suit.
Friends.
That is a deep poll. He did wear the fat suit in Just Friends.
I think Ryan Reynolds would love to do it.
I'm trying to think of other funny
as
fat
an homage
actors.
To him.
Yeah, I'm going to look up fat comedians right now.
I thought this was a really big announcement yesterday. I was really excited about this. I love Spaceballs. I'm glad they're making a sequel. I can't believe Mel Brooks is going to do this at 98.
I honestly, yeah, I had one of those moments of like, still here.
Really?
I did, yeah.
He's pretty active on social meds.
I don't follow him on social meds. Okay. So I don't see a lot of Mel Brooks stuff.
Okay.
I felt like he had, I don't know, maybe in my mind I had killed him off. He's up there. He's getting
98.
98 years
That's
old.
Pretty old to be acting.
That's about as old as you could be, man.
I can't imagine he's going to have a lot of lines to remember. But I think he's rolling out there, and he's like, I'm still standing.
I'm
excited for this.
Dude, I'm pumped. We've had a lot of these. Like, we get the next Happy Gilmore's coming out soon, I think. The trailer's been everywhere.
I have properly gauged and measured my expectations for that one.
Hmm.
I've seen the trailer enough to say, okay, I know what my expectation is.
Yeah, for a lot of these redone movies or sequels of movies that come out, you know, decades later, you just go in with the base level. Do I laugh? I'm not expecting a great movie, and I'm not going to expect a great movie here.
Same.
Do I feel a little nostalgia? Yep. Do you make me laugh a couple of times?
Right,
I get to see Rick Moranis on screen again.
Exactly.
All of that is a positive. And as long as you do that and you avoid being Dumb and Dumberer too, then you're going to be completely fine in my book.
I'm with you 100%.
Like, Dumb and Dumberer 2 is maybe the worst movie ever made.
Anchorman 2 is pretty awful, too.
It is, but it doesn't... I don't think it holds a torch to Dumber Dumber.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's the all-time worst.
So good news for us as, you know, people who love to consume content and comedy movies. Loaded second hour of the program. We'll go to Omaha, get a preview of Louisville and Oregon State as they play today. But we'll get to hour number two on the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube next on The Fan.